Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We are on the fourth Pasuk. Yesterday, we started listing the different advantages and gifts that a person receives with the engine of Ratzon. We said in order to want to work on something, to want to work on Ratzon, a person has to know how valuable Ratzon is. When you know how valuable something is, you're going to put all your energy in taking advantage of it. So we're trying to see all the benefits of what Ratzon does. We spoke about the benefit of Zrizut, that it makes a person zealous. We gave a number of examples. We have, for example, another example by Lavan. It says that when Yaakov Avinu left the house of Lavan, Vayugad leLavan bayom haShelishi, ki barach Yaakov. Lavan was told on the third day, that means already 3 days passed, that Yaakov escaped. That means Yaakov is already 3 days on the road. Vayikach et Ehav imo. The Pasuk says that Laban took his relatives with him. Vayirdof aharav, and he ran after him. Derech shivat yani, a trip of 7 days. Really, the right words here should have been Vayirdof aharav shivat yamim. He ran after him for 7 days. Now, why 7 days? Because it says over here that Yaakov Avinu kol otan shlosha yamim, says Rashi, she'alach ha-magid le'agid le'davan, halach Yaakov le'darko. Which means that he went 3 days. By the time the news got back, someone had to come back to 3 days. Which means that Yaakov is already 3 days ahead again. 3 days. Someone went and told him that he's 3 days ago, but it took him 3 days to get there. It's already 6 days. Says Rashi that Lavan was able to reach Yaakov Avinu in 1 day for a 7 day trip. And that's why the Pasuk says, Bayildof aharav derech shivat yamin, which means he went after him in 1 day on a road that would take 7 days. It didn't say he went for 7 days. He went the road of 7 days. We see again here that when someone wants something, they become very, very quick. Laban was able to get to Yaakov Avinu 7 times the speed that he normally would travel because he very much wanted to get to him. We have in the Beit HaMikdash every morning, the first thing they do is they remove some of the ashes from the Mizbeach. Who gets to do that? So originally, whoever got there first, they opened the doors. Whoever got there first, he got the merits. So it seems a little not fair. You have to work out to be a Kohen to get the zechut of doing the Trumat HaDeshem from the Mizbeach. You have to be a marathon runner to be able to do a mitzvah every morning. So again, based on our principle, it's not like that. Why is it that the first Kohen who gets there, he's the one who has the merit? Because it's a measurement of his zealousness, which is ultimately a measurement of his ratzon. Meaning the Kohen that really wants it, he'll get there. He'll make it there quickly. We spoke about histapkut b'mu'at, about a person who has ratzon, is able to be satisfied in many areas of life with less because of his ratzon. To live, to accomplish, he needs less sleep, he needs less food, he needs less vacations. Not he's suffering. He's happy without them because he has plenty of other things that he's filling his ratzon with. We spoke about how ratzon could take a person and make him physically stronger. Like we saw by Yaakov Avinu, by Elazar HaKohen, we saw by Aharon HaKohen that was carrying 22,000 Leviim in one day, each one lifting them, waving them. One of the great rabbis from the Holocaust survivor, the Rav from Klosenberg, the Klosenberger Rebbe, he says that when he was in Europe before the Holocaust, I guess he was already older, so when he would go to give his shiur, he says he would ask somebody to help him carry the books to get up to the bima where he's speaking. The books were too heavy, so he asked someone to carry it. He says that with the experience of the Holocaust that he went through and the work that the Germans, Yimach Shemam, put him through, he realized that he had a lot more strength than he thought. The few books he thought he couldn't carry before the Holocaust, he was carrying much more during the Holocaust. The desire for himself to live, he was able to work and do much more and carry much more than he thought he was able to do. We've heard different stories. You heard about this woman that picked up a Chevy because her son was caught in the wheel until someone came to help. Carrying a car, waiting for help to save her son. That power isn't there. It's not a normal strength. It's not her strength either. But the ratzon is the engine, like we said, that multiplies a person's power. He becomes a stronger person for that ratzon. The story about an aide that was helping a man for 6 months who couldn't get out of bed. So he had an aide that he needed whatever he needed. One day the aide comes. One morning he shows up and he sees the guy walking like a normal person. Just yesterday he left him. Guy can't move. Today he's walking. He tells him, how are you walking? He says, last night you left and you left me the food next to the menorah, next to the candles. He said, when I was trying to get the food, the candle fell to the ground and I saw that the carpet started going on fire. He says, I jumped out of bed to save the room from going on fire. I realized that I could walk. It's an unbelievable thing. So he starts walking. The desire to do something allows a person to do things that they couldn't do. Guy starts walking because he has a ratzon to walk. It's a very famous story. I don't know, very famous. At least I know it. About a man, a very wealthy man, who was drowning in a river. Some guy is walking by and he sees this big man. He knew who he was, and he was drowning. To save him would be a lot of work, risky. But he sees who the guy is, very wealthy guy. He says, you know what? This is a man worth saving. So he jumps into the water. He grabs the guy out of the water. He puts him on his back. And now he's swimming with this rich man on his back to get him to the other side of the river, to get him out. All of a sudden, three quarters of the way there, people are watching this man saving this other guy. All of a sudden they see he drops him in the water and the guy drowns and he swims back to shore. Can't understand what happened. He was doing great. He was going all the way. He's almost there. So on the way out, they asked him, what happened to you? How do you throw the guy back in the water? You're taking him, you're saving him, you throw him back in the water. He says, no, I'll tell you what happened to me. He said, I don't want to throw him back in the water. He said, when I saw the guy and who he was and he was drowning, he says, I got very, very excited to save him. Besides saving someone's life, but I'm excited. What is he going to give me? He's a very wealthy man. I hit the lottery over here. So he says, I went in with all the strength and I'm carrying the guy. He says, I don't know what happened to my strength. He says, three quarters of the way, the guy I'm carrying tells me, I can't tell you how much this means to me. He's blessing me. He's giving me berachot. He's all the type of thing. And he says to me, he says, you know, right now, I really hit some hard times. But when I get back to myself, I'm going to make sure I take care of you. He said, I know what happened to me. I lost all my strength. It's not that I wanted to put him in the water. I lost all my koach. That's the koach of ratzon. When you have ratzon, you're able to carry people across the river. But when you lose your ratzon, you let that go. That's what we spoke about yesterday. We spoke about zerizut. We spoke about satisfaction. And we spoke about physical strength. That a person is able to do so much more through ratzon. There's also koach nafshi, they call it in Hebrew. Koach nafshi means emotional strength. See, a person in life needs very often emotional strength. Emotional strength is needed when things aren't going the way that they would have liked. Things aren't happening in the most easy ways. It could be in any manner of life. It could be family issues. It could be monetary issues. It could be health issues. It could be whatever issues that a person goes through in life. Sometimes it's tragic issues that a person goes through. Here, a person needs emotional strength. They need koach to hold themselves up that they don't fall apart. Ba'alenu, when a person is suffering a very difficult challenge, they feel like they lost their energy and sometimes they lose their desire to live. Because of the difficulty that they're going through. For a person in that situation to make it, they need emotional strength. They need to stay strong despite the pain and despite the destruction. Everyone's got their own version of destruction and their own version of pain, and nobody can compare one's pain to another. Because if you're in pain and you're experiencing something, for you it's a destructive thing. Sometimes we look at a guy's like, come on, you're in pain. You know what you have? You have this, you have that, you have that. Look at that guy. But that's not a fair way to talk to someone. Because each person in their pain, in their situation, is feeling like the world is caving in on them. But regardless, a person needs in those moments when things in life are difficult, when things seem to be going downhill, when sometimes you don't see a light at the end of the tunnel, sometimes a person sees darkness in a specific situation, or sometimes more than one, and a person just basically wants to give up. They just want to give everything up. They just start, they lose it. They stop working hard, they stop waking up, they stop eating normally, they stop taking care of their responsibilities, they stop whatever they are supposed to be doing, they give up, they make yeush. Unfortunately, while nobody could judge them, but it's a terrible way to react to tragedy. It's a terrible way to react to a life challenge. Again, no judgment. We're not judging, but it's not the way that a person is going to succeed in life. Koach nafshi is not physical strength. It's emotional strength. It's the ability to have a hard day and go to sleep and wake up strong. It's the ability to see darkness and stay strong in order to get to the light. Everybody's got their moments. Everyone's got their days. Ratzon. When a person has ratzon, when a person wants something, he wants to live, he wants to accomplish, he wants to take care of his family, he wants to do whatever ratzon he has to live in this world. There's a ratzon just to stay alive. But there's also a ratzon to make something of our lives. When a person has a ratzon, they're able to be strong despite the difficulty. One Holocaust survivor writes that in his time in the concentration camps, which nobody here could even imagine what that is, he says he was able to see who will survive. Was he a prophet? No. He says, I could look at the person's eyes and see his desire to live was strong. I knew he would make it. And when I saw in the guy's eyes that he gave up, I knew that for him it's over. He says, when I left the concentration camps, he says, I was right on every call. What an unbelievable thing. I wasn't there with him. I didn't see what he saw. But the message is very powerful. A person going through a hard time, it's possible to see in their eyes their ratzon, their strong will to continue, to live, to do, to accomplish. And such a ratzon produces the strength to be able to do it. When a person gives up, it's over. That's what Hashem told Adam HaRishon. When he sinned, Adam HaRishon felt, it's over. I messed up. I was so pure. The world was so pure. You gave me one thing that I shouldn't do when I messed up. Yeah. Hashem told him, did you eat from the fruit? He says to Hashem, not only did I eat, I'm going to eat again. Which seems to be very inappropriate to tell the creator of the world, when he asks you, did you do something wrong? You tell him, yes, and I'm going to do it again. Seems like a very big chutzpah. But it was not chutzpah. It was Adam HaRishon, a man who felt despair. He says, with all that you gave me, you created me on the first day. You gave me the whole world as mine. I'm pure. The world is pure. You only asked me to do one thing, and I still messed up. He says, what will be the real possibility that I will be able to continue and live a life that you desire? Now I messed up. I brought tum'ah to the world. How? When he told Hashem, I'm going to do it again, it wasn't a chutzpah. It was a man who gave up. So the person's ratzon gives them emotional strength. They have to find the ratzon to live. They have to find the ratzon what to live for. Again, our goal here is to learn about the value of ratzon so we'll know how to produce it. We're going to learn about that. But we have to know how critical it is that we have it. Ratzon also gives a person the ability of convincing others. One of the great responsibilities of life is to teach others, to teach our children, to teach our family, to teach others, to influence others. And one of the ways that you could teach is by convincing people that they're doing something that's not good for them. Where do you get the strength to convince someone who's standing strong in their way? Well, one of the ways that you can convince someone and you find new strength to convince somebody is when you have the ratzon. When you really care about the guy. When you really care about the issue. When you really want to make a change in that person's life, this ratzon in you gives you the strength to figure out a way to convince them. There is a power in a person to give over to the other person and they will be convinced. When the stronger your ratzon to achieve what you want for them, the greater you'll come up with ideas of how and what to say and in the way you're going to say it. If I really want you to have something, I'm going to be able to find a way to convince you. So sometimes we don't have success in convincing others. I don't say all the time, but it could be that we need a greater desire to get the job done. Sometimes in halakha, anyone who learns Gemara knows there's a concept called migo. Migo means sometimes we believe somebody in financial matters, let's say, between two people. Usually we don't believe the person involved. Maybe he's lying. But sometimes we believe them in what they're saying. They're making a claim, and the halakha says, believe him. How could you believe him? Migo, because since he could have made a better claim, and he didn't make a better claim, his claim that he said was worse than he could have made. So the idea is, if he's a liar, he would have made a better claim for himself. Why didn't he make the best claim for himself? He made a claim that was less qualitative. Yeah. So the fact that his claim was less than he could have said, so believe him. Because if he was really lying, he would have made a better claim. That's the concept of migo. There are many types of migo. Now, if you study the great books, the great Sfarim, Iksot HaHoshen, the Netivot, they bring out all different types of migos. we're going to believe this guy because he could have said this. And sometimes they come up with the wildest migos. He could have thought and said that. He could have. The Netziv Mevelazhin asks, these great minds are coming up with the wildest, what he could have said. He says, you think a regular businessman knows that? Meaning, you're going into his mind. Who's going into his mind? The greatest minds in the history of the Jewish people are going and trying to figure out what else he could have said. But the guy himself is an Am Haaretz. The guy you're talking about is an ignorant man. You think he even knows what claim he could have made? And because he didn't make it, that's why we're going to trust him? The guy doesn't even know that that claim might even exist. So you're trusting him because you're saying, oh, he could have said better. The guy doesn't know to say better. Diksota Hoshe knows he could say better. But he doesn't know he could say better. Guy's ignorant. So how do you trust a guy because he could have said better when in his mind he may not even know what better is? That's the question the Netziv is. The greatest Jewish minds are figuring out what possible better thing could he have said, and based on that we'll believe him. But that's for you, not for him. Guys, he didn't go to yeshiva, the guy. Shouldn't it be based on the guy's gadlut? And if the guy's a big Talmid Chacham, so okay, then he'll know what else he could have played. But a regular, simple guy. Guy's a wagon driver. You think that he has in his mind that possibility and he decided not to use it? Come on. Says the Netziv Mevelazhin. The Netziv says that since we know the guy wants money, that much Ratzon we know he has. He wants the money. He says, if you want money, you're going to figure it all out. You're going to become, for this halakha, Diksota Hoshen. Maybe for everything else, you're an Am Haaretz. But you want to win the case? You want that money? Somehow, you're able to dig in and think of all the possibilities. Like the greatest rabbis. So much so that we're going to believe you. Because we know you had a better choice. You could have said that. You didn't say that one, so we'll believe you for that. That's what Ratzon is able to do. It's able to make a person on the level of the greatest thinkers and think of the greatest ideas. It's an unbelievable thing. You're sitting in a business meeting and the ideas that might come up of how to do something, how to start something, how to solve something. Maybe you look around the table and you think it's based on brains. This guy's a genius. That guy's not such a genius. That's why he can't. No, no. You go into that meeting. If you have a ratzon to succeed, to solve the problem, if you put in your mind a complete desire to make this work, You'll become smarter in that meeting. You're a smarter person in this issue. You may not be so smart. People look at you and say, this guy makes the worst decisions. We've seen that. He makes every wrong decision in his marriage, every wrong decision with his children, every wrong decision in every way of life. But when it comes to his company, the guy's a genius. How many times have you seen that? How could you be a genius in business and be such an Am Haaretz in life? Such an ignorant person. You've destroyed your family, you've destroyed your children, you've destroyed your marriage.
but you go into your business and you make every right choice. How could that be? Is the guy smart or is the guy not smart? Yes, sechel or no sechel? Very simple question. But today we're learning that the guy may not be so smart. But when he has ratzon for something, he becomes a genius. He really wants to be a billionaire. That's what he really wants. Once you really want to be a billionaire, you'll be a genius in economics. You'll be a genius in distribution. You'll be a genius in investments. You'll be a genius in whatever you're involved in. You go to the Bet Midrash with that same guy, open a Gemara with him, you can't get to first base with him. You try to explain to him the Mishnah. He doesn't understand what you're saying. It takes you 10 minutes to explain to him one line. And then you go to the question on the Mishnah, you lost him completely. He says, Ribbono Shel Olam, this guy, this is the guy that's known as a genius? Answer is, he's not a genius. But if you have ratzon, you could become a genius. For the ratzon that you have, you become very smart. You want to have an awesome marriage? You really want an awesome marriage? You'll become very smart. If you don't have an awesome marriage, it's very likely that you don't really want one. You say, come on, I don't really want one. Who doesn't want a great... I don't know. Maybe you wish for a good marriage. Maybe you wish for a great marriage, but you don't really have ratzon for a great marriage. Because if you had ratzon for a great marriage, you'd make much better choices. You'd think a lot better than the way you're thinking. Whoever thought of such a thing? So ratzon gives me physical strength. What an unbelievable thing that we're not even, you know, it's just a simple thing in life that we're not aware of it. There's an engine waiting for you, and you don't even know it's there. It gives you physical power. It gives you emotional power. And now, we're learning, it makes you smarter. It makes you able to find things that you wouldn't find otherwise. You can convince people. You can find solutions to problems. Unbelievable. That's the story of Shechem, the son of Hamor, that we learned. His desire, his ratzon, made him smart enough to convince an entire town to make a Brit Milah. How do you convince the Hamdar? He convinced them. He figured it out. Is he that smart that he can? He's Hamor, is a Shechem. Very good. He is, after all, Shechem, the son of Hamor. How smart could the guy be?
He wanted that wife.
But when you want something, you become smart. So if you're sitting and learning Torah and you don't understand it,
you don't really want it.
You don't really want it. Because if you really wanted it, you'd be smarter.
The more classes.
And it goes in every area of life. If you really want to succeed in that area, you'd come up with things like the greatest gedolim. The power of ratzon. Unbelievable. Let me share with you something else that happens with ratzon, another avenue. We've covered a lot already. You should have enough material to want ratzon. We find by Matan Torah, when Hashem gave the Torah to Am Yisrael, we know the famous Midrash that says that Hashem went to all the different nations of the world and asked them if they wanted the Torah.
And we know that each one of them rejected it for whatever reason. Each one had a problem. One didn't like the commandment not to murder. One didn't like the commandment not to steal.
Religion.
Each one had a problem. And therefore, they did not want the Torah. Until we know that Am Yisrael said, Na'aseh v'nishma, we want it. Here's an example of what Ratzon could do. Seemingly, we are the children of Abraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov. Already, Hashem told Abraham Avinu that he is going to make his children the chosen nation. We would have thought that at some point Hashem would have just said, okay, now you left Mitzrayim. You're ready to receive the Torah. That's the way we would have thought Matan Torah would have happened. You know, the Jewish people didn't start by Har Sinai. We already had Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and there was already a commitment from the Creator to Abraham Avinu's children that they are going to be the chosen nation, which means they will receive the Torah. So it's surprising that Hashem is asking if we want or not. But here comes a new area of Ratzon. The Torah is an example of what we call in life Siata Dishmaya, which means Hashem's help, Hashem's gifts. Hashem is constantly sending gifts to us in life. The Torah happens to be the greatest gift that the world has ever seen. Despite the fact that Hashem told Abraham Avinu that he's going to give his children, but there has to be a certain button that's pressed. It has to come from a person or a nation that wants it. Hashem is not giving you the Torah unless you want it. Of course, Hashem promised, I'm going to give it to them. But the way of the world, the nature of the world is, even though I'm going to give it to you, you have to press the button, just like if Hashem says, this Rosh Hashanah, he decided that this coming year you're going to have this much panasa. Great. Beautiful. You have a lot of panasa this year. But if you don't go to work, you're not getting panasa. Because the promise is dependent on your ishtadlut. So too, when Hashem gave the Torah to Abraham Avinu, of course he gave it to him, but there needs to be something that preceded the giving, and that's the ratzon of the recipient. We did not get the Torah from Hashem who says, here, take. It had to start with, do you want it? Because Hashem gives gifts in life according to the ratzon of the recipient. Remember that. We want something. How many things do we want in life? A lot of things. But if we really want, we can now earn a new level of Siata Dishmaya. If you really want something, you're building a tzinor. A tzinor is like a pipe that's connecting you to Hashem's beracha. One of the pipes that Hashem sends berachot through is the pipe of ratzon. When you really want something, Hashem will send you what you want because you built the pipe to his gifts. This is what we see by Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu left his parents. Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva. Yaakov left Be'er Sheva, where he lived with Yitzhak and Rivka. Vayelech Harana, and he went to Haran. Then it says, Vayifga Bamakom.
and he met up with the place. So without getting through all the details, we don't have time for that. I want to read for you a Rashi. A beautiful Rashi. This Makom, by the way, was the Beit HaMikdash. And he prayed there. But the problem is that the Beit HaMikdash is on the way to Haran. So the Pasuk is out of order. It says, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shava. And he went to Haran. So he's in Haran already. Vayifga b'makom. Now he went to Yerushalayim. What? That's going backwards? Be'er Sheva to Haran. In between, there's Yerushalayim. How did he end up in Haran and then Vayifga b'makom? Something is out of order here. It should say, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shava. Vayifga b'makom. And then Be'er Haran. So the pasuk makes no sense. Says Rashi, "Shenakar Hara Moria Ubalekan." Believe it or not. The Har HaMoriah, where the Beit HaMikdash is on, that mountain, it uprooted, and it traveled towards Yaakov. V'yetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shava v'yele Harana, yidat Haran, v'yifga b'makom. The makom came to him. When you meet somebody, they're coming to you, you want to go towards them, v'yifga. The mountain came to him. Bezohi kefitzat haaretz ha'amura v'shbidat holi. That's what it means, he had kefitzat haaretz. Some say kefitzat haaretz means he went back first. No. Says, no. The haaretz, the actual earth, jumped towards him. Which means Yerushalayim went to him in Haran. Why? Sheba Beit HaMikdash likrato. Vezehu vayifga b'makom. Ve'im tomar, says Rashi, well, it's very hard to understand. It's not a problem. Hashem can make miracles. It's okay. That doesn't bother us. Hashem created the mountain. He can put the mountain wherever he wants. That shouldn't bother anybody. But he says, Ve'im tomar, kesheavar Yaakov al Beit HaMikdash. But, so Hashem basically, he brought him to Beit HaMikdash to pray. So what do you need miracles for? The man just came from there. When Yaakov passed by Har HaMoriah on his way from Be'er Sheva, Madua lo ikevo sham? Why didn't Hashem just tell him, hello, you're in the holy grounds here? Hashem makes miracles only when there's a necessity. But in this case, he was just there. So why didn't God just tell him, hello, Yaakov, why don't you pray? This is a very holy place. Don't miss the opportunity. Says Rashi, alav ha-shalom, these words.
He's learning.
Ihu lo yahiv libe leikpalel b'makom sheikpalu avotav. He didn't have the desire at that point when he was walking to pray in the same spot that his fathers prayed. Avraham and Yitzhak is a very holy place. Avraham had the Akedah there, Yitzhak prayed there. He says he, at that time when he was passing, didn't have the desire to pray there. Umina shamayim ya'akvu? You want heaven to stop him? You would say, yeah, why not? What's the problem? Stop him. No. If he doesn't want, at this point, to pray, you think in heaven they're going to stop him to pray? So what happened? He's traveling. He doesn't even realize there's a place over here that he's passing. He didn't know. He's traveling. He's going to Haran. He says he went all the way to Haran. He got to Haran.
I wonder.
He says, Ki matale Haran amar. But when he got to Haran, he said, Efshar she'avarti al makom. He said, all of a sudden he remembered, oh no, you know, I guess he's running away from his brother. Who's thinking about what he's passing? He's not going on a sightseeing trip. He has to go run away from his brother. He wants to kill him. He wants to reach his destination. He's doing kibud av va'em. He wasn't thinking about it. But when he got to Haran, he realized, wait a second. On the map that I traveled up here from Be'er Sheva, could it be that I pass the place where my fathers prayed? Ve'lo hitpalalti bo. Amazing how they thought. The place that my fathers prayed and I passed it and I didn't pray? What kind of kibud avayim is that? What kind of heritage is that? What kind of mesorah is that? Could it be? He's tracing back his trip. He says, maybe I passed by the place and I didn't pray. Says, listen to this, says Rashi. Yahav date le mihdar. He says, I need to go back. I'm going back. Can you imagine? It's a long trip. He's going back from Haran to the Beit HaMikdash. He just traveled a long way. You know how many days it took him to get there? They didn't travel by plane in those days and not by car. He said, I'm going back. I didn't pray the place my fathers prayed. Me and you would have said, okay. Listen, Anus, sometimes you don't pray. What happens? I don't pray. I'm busy. He says, I can't do that. I'm going back. But he says, Yahav date le mehda, which means he had a rason to go back. Going back. Not missing that opportunity. And Hazar ad Bet El, he made it back to a place called Bet El. And then Hara Moria came towards him. What is going on here? What's going on here is again another avenue. The mountain coming to you is another way of saying that Hashem is holding your hand to help you get your mission accomplished. A person goes into business. You know how many people have had mountains come towards them in business? There's an opportunity that comes to you. What is that called? That's called a mountain came towards you. You met a guy in a plane somewhere. You met an opportunity that came your way. That's called si'ata d'shmaya. That's called Hashem bringing things your way. Does Hashem want Yaakov to pray in Hara Moria? Is that an important thing? Yes. Is it important for Yaakov too? Yes. But he was missing the ratzon. Of course, if someone would have told him, he wouldn't have had the ratzon. He just wasn't thinking about it. But the way of the world is that Hashem will help you according to your ratzon. You will see tremendous si'ata d'shmaya. Mountains will uproot coming to your direction if you really want to be there. That's the way of the world. The tzinor, the pipe of Hashem's help, has to start from your ratzon. The greater your ratzon, now obviously no mountain is coming towards me because I probably don't have the same ratzon as Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu had such a ratzon that Hashem helped him in the most miraculous, in the greatest way. Opening up the shefa, opening up
the pipeline where Hashem is able to give you so much beracha. He can give a person so much beracha. How? Through your ratzon. There's a button. That's why we say every day, the most important pasuk, in Pesukei Dezimra. The pasuk says, Poteach et yadecha u'masbiyah lechol hay ratzon. If a person doesn't have kavana in that pasuk, they have to go back. Poteach et yadecha, Hashem, you open your hand, u'masbiyah lechol hay, and you satiate every living creature, praising God for bringing life to every creature in this world, every single day. How many people are eating every day? How many animals are eating every day? Hashem opens his hand. Opening his hand means he opens the pipe. Umasbiya, and he sends satiation lecholhat. So me and you would have ended the pasuk right then and there. Hashem, you open your hand. Umasbiya, and you satiate lecholhat, period. Anyone alive today is being satiated by God. That's not a pasuk elf. It says, Poteach et yadecha, you open your hand, umasbiya lechol hay ratzon. You satiate every person according to his ratzon. The way satiation works from God is that it has to start from the guy on the bottom. Even a baby, when he wants to eat, what does he do? He cries. Hashem will give you milk. You have to want. According to your ratzon, that's how much Hashem gives you. Look at the Mesudot David, he says, Masbiya lechol hay, lefi retzono v'tahavato. According to what you want, according to what you desire, how badly do you want it? That's how much Hashem gives you. Says the Maldim Alav HaShalom, Sheharatzon hu hapoteach et yedei Hashem. What opens the hands of Hashem? Poteach et yadecha, says the Maldim. What opens Hashem's hand? The Ratzon opens up Hashem's hand. What a line. Haratzon hu hapoteach et yedei Hashem. That's the key to open up Hashem's hand. She'al yedei haratzon yiftach yedehem latet ulashpia beyadayim petuchot mele'otu. Hashem opens his hand and gives you everything. What can Hashem give you? Give you money, he give you a wife, he give you children, he give you beracha, he'll give you hell again. He has it all. But you have to want it. Not wish, want. If you want it, you're going to get it. Unbelievable. This is the story of Ratzon. Today we went another few levels of understanding how much Ratzon is able to do for every one of us. We'll continue tomorrow again.